You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. In the 1980s, I produced and hosted a radio series called Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater. Now the Broadway Podcast Network is bringing back these shows. Today, part one of a two-part visit with the acclaimed performer and composer-lyricist, Mickey Grant. Grant is best remembered for her Broadway score to Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope, and her three amazing songs in Working. This program was originally broadcast in 1980.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was a look on to something shocking, but now God knows anything goes.
I've got to keep moving, moving, Lord, moving, moving, Lord. I'm a long way from where I've been, but I've got to keep moving till I move on in. I've got to keep pushing, pushing, Lord, pushing, pushing, Lord, pushed a long way from where I've been, but I've got to keep pushing till I push on in. I've got to keep moving. I gotta keep moving.
I gotta keep moving.
Oh, I gotta keep moving.
I gotta keep moving.
Yeah.
I gotta keep moving.
I gotta keep moving.
I gotta keep moving.
Oh, I gotta keep moving.
I gotta keep moving.
Yeah. Oh, life's road is rough to travel. Nobody has a map. But I know one day I'll find a way. Hey, I gotta keep pushing. I gotta keep pushing. Oh, I gotta keep pushing. Well, there are times when I get discouraged. And I remember what I read one day. The race is not given unto the swift. Oh, I keep on running. I gotta keep running. Oh, I gotta keep running. Yeah. Oh, I've come through some mighty low valleys, over mountains too high to climb. But when I look back, my tracks. Oh, I gotta keep moving. I gotta keep moving. Oh, I gotta keep moving. Yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Well. Yeah. Till I move on.
From composer-lyricist Mickey Grant's award-winning musical Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope, Alex Bradford and the original company performed I Gotta Keep Movin'. This is Paul Lazarus. My guest this afternoon on Anything Goes is actress, singer, songwriter Mickey Grant, who besides Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope, has provided music and lyrics for Your Arms Too Short to Box with God, Working, and Yubi, just to name a few. Mickey, you're an actress, singer, as well as a songwriter. You've acted on Broadway in plays like Lanford Wilson's The Gingham Dog, and on television you played the part of Peggy Nolan for 6 years on the soap opera Another World. When did you first start writing songs?
When I was around 14 or 15. We always had a piano in the house. My father played by ear. My sister studied. In fact, they had sent both of us to study. And after a few lessons, the teacher told my mom to stop wasting her money because I didn't seem to be too interested. But it turned out that actually I was more interested in string instruments. Uh-huh. And I started studying violin shortly after that.
Uh-huh. So you had a pretty extensive musical background. I mean, you still have is it the cello or the bass that you play?
The double bass.
The double bass.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that since high school. Yeah.
Do you fool around on it still?
Yeah, every now and then I get the urge to take out the bow and go over some exercises or just pluck. Mm-hmm. My fingers are a little tender now. But you hear so much electronic music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then I just get the urge to want to hear the sound of a double bass. I went to Symphony Space a few weeks ago, and they had wall-to-wall Haydn.
Uh-huh.
And it was so nice just to hear those rolling tones. And, you know.
Yeah. Did you play in orchestras when
Yeah, were? Yeah. I played in the Chicago School of Music Concert Orchestra. I also played in high school in the marching band and the orchestra. And in college, I played with both the pop band and the concert orchestra. Mm-hmm. And I always played double bass, except in high school I played double bass and sousaphone.
Uh-huh. Did you grow up in the Chicago area?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you spend most of your childhood there?
Yeah, practically all of it.
Uh-huh. Were your folks at all involved in music, outside of your dad playing by ear?
No, not really. I understand that he had been playing for years because he and my mom met when he was playing for a house party. So he used to play on weekends around and what have you.
What kind of stuff did he like to play?
He'd play the old blues thing, like, woke up this morning, had you on my mind. So he would play and he'd sit there and he'd sing. It was great.
Did you do a lot of singing and playing together?
Yeah, I'd sit beside him. It's the funniest thing, though. I can't play by ear anymore. I'd sit beside him and watch him, and when he'd get up, I'd sit there and I'd do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't know what I was doing. And when I started to study and I realized what notes were and chords were, and this, all of a sudden I didn't have that freedom.
Yeah.
You know, just to start hitting the keys and what have you.
That's a major argument for all time sometimes. Do rules help all the time?
Yeah.
I don't know. So really no one in your family was really involved with professional arts before you?
No.
Uh-huh. Mm. It's funny because a lot of people I've talked to, that's the case. They've really just set out on their own.
Well, I guess I was the crazy one.
Do you remember the very first musical you ever saw?
I would say I would say it was probably Oklahoma.
That's incredible. I think that musical influenced so many kids. You compose mostly on the guitar for
yeah.
your shows, isn't that correct? Do you find that affects your work in any way? Because most theater composers I know compose on piano.
Well, when I want to write the stuff down, you know, I can sit at the piano and write.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't execute.
Uh-huh.
I can't execute what I hear.
It's just the finger.
Yeah, and that's a friendly thing about just sitting, and you can do it any time you want with a guitar. If you feel like playing at 3 a.m, you're not disturbing anyone. It's kind of a warm, friendly.
It's good for those bursts of inspiration, isn't it?
Right.
You can pick
right.
it up and just go to it.
Right.
Also, you can take it anywhere, which is
right.
Which is Absolutely. Very nice.
Left me tired. I hardly slept at all.
Why is that, brother?
'Cause the rats were having a party in the hall. Then the city just decided to condemn this tenement. That's when the landlord decided he was gonna raise the rent.
Don't they do that? Don't let them do it.
Over from your side, things may look real fine, but if you were looking from my side, oh, I'd bet you would change your mind.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. All
right. I can't even sleep in my own hard iron bed.
Why?
'Cause the plaster from the ceiling keeps falling on my head. To you, but it's just a big headache for me.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, looking over from your side. You say complaining again. What's new? If you were looking from my side, you'd be complaining too.
All right.
The window pane is broken. Winter's coming. And I'm getting tired of scraping Jack Frost off my skin. But you say that breeze feels good. Then you turn your thermostat to 83. Now, what feels good to you feels like pneumonia to me. It's nothing but peace and quiet. But if you were looking from my side, you might even start a riot.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Looking over from your side. It's nothing but peace and quiet. But if you were looking from my side,
whose original idea was the multi-award-winning show Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope?
Gloria Van Scott, who is a writer and actress and performer herself, wanted to do a project using her dancing talents and some music. And she wanted to do music of mine.
Uh-huh.
It was, to be a little piece that was to present it at the Library of Performing Arts for two nights and two afternoons. And that was to be it. And they thought they'd take about 2 weeks and work on it. And Vanette would, direct it, set it up for her. But as they started working on it, it got more and more involved. And the more that Vanette heard of my material, the more she wanted to use. And it just started to grow, like Topsy, It uh-huh. just growed and growed. Even my being in it sort of happened without my expecting it to. I was supposed to be going on my vacation, and as I sat there watching them rehearse, I couldn't tear myself away,
uh-huh.
And I walked in one night, and Vanette says, you're going to go on. And she says, nobody sings your material like you do.
Edward Perdula wrote on the cover of the album that you and Vanette Carroll set out to create a work together with the theme that coping is a basic commitment of a mature, purposeful, involved human being, that the ways we are similar are far greater than the ways we are different. That was a quoting from the album.
When did you actually hit upon the show's title? And that whole concept.
Yeah, it's funny how titles come out. The same person who introduced us when we were sitting there talking about the show.
This is who again?
Gloria Van Scott. Was telling us of an experience she had just had a week before, where driving along with a friend, she saw a car hit from behind. And there was a woman driving the car that hit the car in front. And when the person got out of the car in front and walked back to where the woman was sitting, she flung her head on the steering wheel and she started saying, don't bother me, I can't cope.
Oh.
You know.
Fabulous.
And Vanessa said, that's a good title for the show.
I lay back on my analyst couch and told him what's frustrating me.
Uh-huh.
He said, the trouble with you is you can't cope. Then he asked me for a $50 fee.
He did.
What'd
you say?
Don't bother me.
Tell him,
I can't cope. Do you think I'm paying you that kind of dough for telling me something I already know? That's why I'm here, fool.
All right.
Cause I can't cope.
She said don't bother her.
That's what I said.
She can't cope.
I jumped in a taxi at 1 a.m., but the cat wouldn't start the meter.
Right on!
I said, listen, fella, I'm going downtown. He said, I don't go there either.
Whitey!
I said, don't bother me.
That's right.
I can't cope. That sign says you can't refuse a fare, so you or that sign better take me somewhere because it's 1 a.m.
All right!
And I can't cope.
Mm. He said, don't bother him.
Bet not.
He can't cope.
You know, I asked my boss for a raise in pay, and he said you should have asked me yesterday. Wages were frozen today, you see, so all I can give you is sympathy. And I said,
what did you say?
Don't fool with me, man. I can't cope. You mean I've got to wait till the big freeze thaws? Well, guess who's coming to dinner? Because when my stomach starts growling,
all right, yeah.
I can't cope.
He said, don't bother him. He can't cope.
Ralph Abernathy said to Jesse Jackson, Operation Breadbasket's doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
But naughty little Jesse Horner, go stand in the corner until you learn how to stay in line. Jesse said,
she.
Now you know I can't cope.
Tell
him. I'm not hiding my light under no bush. I know you got pull, but I'm gonna get pushed. Because between Operation SCLC,
Operation Snake,
Operation Negro,
Operation NAACP,
Operation Core,
and Operation Richard J. Daley,
I can't cope.
But
you gotta cope, I gotta cope, all God's children gotta cope.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
And there's nothing wrong with militancy. But I'm a nonviolent person, and I believe you take stands in all kinds of ways. And I almost felt, in fact, I've said many times, at that point in time when we did cope, that was a militant stand because we were going just the opposite of what everything had been in the 60s, was confrontation
and
hate. And, you know, there was so much venom. And it was almost like that was necessary. So who was going to be the first to say, to have a kind of reconciliation time of, or conciliate it?
It's funny because Gerald Boardman, in his book on American musical theater, when he talked about Cope, said just that. He said,
really?
Yeah, he said that it was due to that very fact that it was kind of like saying, now's the time to say things in a different way.
Yeah.
That really was one of the reasons for the great success of Cope. And I think that's true.
Yeah, I think everybody got room to breathe and listen instead of turning off and tuning out.
Right.
I don't want to hear this, you know. All of a sudden, everybody wanted to hear what you were saying. And certain things impressed me. There was a young black man who came backstage shortly after we opened, and it was his third visit. And on the third time, he came backstage because he had gotten to the point where he was no longer ashamed to enjoy, because he had been in that very, very militant bag, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the first time I walked out, it was like I was in a centrifuge. I was so turned around and so whirled around, because he had been conditioned, when you walk out of the theater, you should be fired up and, you know, ready to punch anybody and angry. And he said, what I did, I just walked out feeling so good about myself. And not wanting to fight, I just felt good inside, you know, and mm-hmm. good about who I am. But he had to come and see it two more times before he lost his guilt feelings. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it is.
You know,
something.
I thought that was remarkable.
So many voices preaching, so many hands keep reaching. Which sound do I listen to? Which hand do I shake? Questions, oh, questions. With every day I'm finding another road is winding. There's a fork in every road. Which one do I take? Questions, oh, questions. Knocking on the doors of my mind. Questions, so many questions. And somewhere there are answers I must find. So many times I've wondered, where will my name be numbered? Will I stand among the crowd, or will I stand alone? Questions, questions. Oh yes, I can hear you preaching, and I've studied all your teaching. Still I know that I must find some answers of my own. Oh, questions, so many questions. They keep knocking on the doors of my mind. Questions, so many questions. Somewhere there are answers I must find. Oh, questions, so many questions. They keep knocking on the doors of my mind. Questions, so many, many, many questions. Somewhere there are answers I must find. Oh, somewhere there are answers I must find.
Read your Bible, brother.
All the news that fit the print.
Mohammed speaks.
Crisis.
Ebony.
TV Guide.
Screw.
Miss Mrs. Smith.
Violence begets violence, begets violence, begets violence.
Pleasantness.
Begets nothing, begets nothing, begets nothing.
Dixie Pizza Afro.
Brotherhood, motherhood,
red, white, and blue,
manhood.
break in, I get arrested.
If I shout, nobody answers.
If I knock, I'm Uncle Tom. Questions!
Peace march, war march, freedom march, march march. Peace march, war march, freedom march, march march. Militant, pacifist, assimilator, moralist, separatist, agitator, white nigga, black nigga. Questions, 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 questions!
And somewhere there are answers.
Mickey Grant performs her own song, Questions, from the score to Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope. You're listening to Anything Goes. I'm your host, Paul Lazarus, and my guest today is composer-lyricist Mickey Grant. The score to Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope garnered Mickey Grant several awards in 1972, including an Obie and Drama Desk Award for Best Music and Lyrics, an NAACP Image Award for Best Playwright, and the Grammy Award for Best Score from an Original Cast Show Album.
Was the Grammy that you won for the show a surprise?
Was it ever? I mean, I knew that I was nominated, but I didn't think of attending. And the night that they were being given, I wasn't even home watching.
Oh, you didn't even go to the ceremony?
No, I was doing a benefit performance at Carnegie Hall.
Oh, how funny.
And the call came into Carnegie Hall just before I was to go on. That word had just come that I had won the Grammy. So that just before they announced me, they also announced to the audience that I had just that night won the Grammy. And I was standing there in a state because I wasn't even thinking about it. But these are the kind of things that you dream about, you know.
And then they happen.
It's like when I was sitting there in the Tony ceremonies. These are things that I grew up because all my life I've been, you know, thinking about theater and watching the Academy Awards and watching the Tony, you know, all this. And it seemed so far removed that anything was possible, but yet it always seemed possible.
Of course. You know? There's always that hope.
Yeah. Right. And sometimes you have to pinch yourself because I'm sitting there at you know, the show was nominated for several Tonys. And I'm looking around and saying, I'm actually here. This is me sitting here. it's actually happened. So that was a big surprise, mm-hmm. Really a big surprise.
Another show you worked on with Vinette Carroll was Your Arms Too Short to Box with God, based on the Book of Matthew. And you shared the writing of the score with a former fellow performer in Cope, Alex Bradford.
Right.
How did you work to divide the score up? How did you resolve
it? I came in late. And I came in before the Broadway production because it was originally done at Spoleto, at the festival there. And it was mostly the pageantry that got it over, and the music, and the sound, and the reaction was just phenomenal. You could see the men and people sitting in the audience crying tears, but because of their involvement of the feeling and what have you of the show, even though they didn't understand a lot of the words, you know, of the lyrics of the songs. But when we came back, and I had a couple of spoken lines in the show. In fact, Vinette Carroll was doing sort of a narrative part in Italy, and I had written several lines for her, speaking lines. But I had written no music for the show. But when we came back to the States, and again it was Ford's Theater that was the first to produce it commercially, they were going to take the show to Ford's Theater, where it played for some time, and then we're going to bring it to Broadway. And Vinette, in the meantime, went over to do the Australian production of Cope. And she came back with all these ideas about what she wanted to do with Box that mattered for her before it went to Broadway. And in other words, because I am a theater writer, she wanted to deal with storyline, and kind of, there was really nothing
It really didn't
actually
exist.
Dealing with the book itself in the lyrics, you know. And that's
when you started.
How I came into the picture. In fact, if you hear the sermons on the album, I wrote both the sermons, which gives it a purpose and a reason for being, you know, why we're here to hear this pageant and what have you. And then most of the material that I wrote dealt with the actual, like, Mary's thoughts and the
priests progression
and
of the story
and the elders and all of that. Yeah.
You said earlier about your love of writing things of the West Indian sound. Is that what influenced you when you wrote It's Too Late, Judith?
Yeah, but you know, that really came as a suggestion from the girl. It almost lent itself to it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was almost forcing itself in that direction. And with the situation and the way it was, and they're mocking him and what have you, you know, it worked very well.
Listening to part one of a two-part look at the career of composer-lyricist Mickey Grant. Associate producer Jeff London. Anything Goes Backstage with Broadway's Best is produced and hosted by Paul Lazarus. For more information, visit anythinggoespl.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.